Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, my name's Nigel Jones, and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan, and welcome to today's podcast, which is actually going to be on the subject of patient care, and I'm going to be exploring this subject in the company of John Milne. Welcome, John. I wonder if you could just introduce yourself and give us a bit of information about your background for those that don't know.
Okay, well, I'm John Milne. I'm the Senior National Professional Dental Advisor for the Care Quality Commission. I'm a practicing dentist working in Wakefield in West Yorkshire. I've been involved in the politics of dentistry as chair of LDC and perhaps more well known for my role as chair of general dental practice at the BDA, which I did for quite a few years.
Well, it's in your current role with the CQC that I'm particularly interested. And I'm aware that one of the things that the CQC helps practices with is looking at aspects of the business side, running the business of a dental practice. Ultimately, we're all there for patient care. So what do you think have been the benefits for patient care of the involvement of the CQC in dentistry?
I think one of the things CQC has done is it's offered five questions. We call them the five key questions: is care safe, effective, caring, responsive, and well led. And I think they give practices a focus about what they might need to do to make their practice more efficient, and also to make sure that the environment for patients is safer, and also to think about whether the quality of care that they give patients is good enough for what the public would expect from a profession such as ours.
And when it comes to patient care, obviously there's a number of ways of looking at it. You can look at it in terms of actually if the right systems and processes are in place, then the outcomes should be what you want them to be. There are quite a few people that do talk back to or go back to the days of the DROs and actually looking at more clinically based inspections rather than process based. Where do you and the CQC sit on that?
Well, it's a massive question for us because we look to see whether care is effective. So what does that mean? It's a massive word, and there's huge amounts of meaning in what effective care is. Sometimes how I describe this when I'm talking to groups of dentists and also to our own inspection teams is I say, well, think about your mum. Think about whether you would want your mum to go to a particular practice. First of all, is it going to be safe? Is the cross-infection going to be right and so on? But then I say about effective, and what I suggest is, well, what's the chances of your mum or your member of your family, when they go to a practice, receiving the care they need that's going to improve their oral health, that's going to take them to a better place from where they are when they first visit the practice. So in terms of effective care, that's what we're trying to look at. Dental reference officers, those who've worked in the NHS in the past, we'll remember them. They've not been so active in the last 10 years or so. But what they did was they checked on whether treatment that was being prescribed was appropriate. They also did post-treatment checks to see whether the quality of that treatment was good enough. I think it was quite an inefficient system. But occasionally we get asked, well, why don't you guys do that? And I think the answer is it's quite a big elephant to take a bite out of at the moment. And so we're beginning to think at the moment, how can we best look at to what extent effective care is delivered? We can certainly do something by looking at patient records. We look at records now as part of our inspection process to corroborate other information that's been given. So, for instance, We might ask a practitioner how they handle a new patient consultation, and the practitioner will talk to us about consent. They'll talk to us about investigations and radiographs they might take. They'll talk to us about treatment planning and options. And so we might well then look at a record or two that tells us how that process has been carried out and gives us the assurance they need, that we need actually, and that patients need, that they're being looked after properly. So we're beginning to think about whether we might look a bit more deeply into the realm of effective care. We're at the beginning of that process, and we're hoping to talk with the profession at large about what the profession feels about that issue going forward.
And what were the prompts then for you starting to think, actually, maybe we should do this?
Well, some of the prompts came from the profession itself saying to us, why don't you do that? They would say, it's great having a dental professional along with our inspectors, but wouldn't it be better, rather than spending time poking around in the back of a drawer to find a cartridge of local anaesthetic that's out of date, might it not perhaps be better to have a look and see whether the dentists are doing their job properly in a clinical sense? I think that's a big leap at the moment, but it's certainly encouraging us to think about the issue.
Well, so I think that's quite interesting, because I'm aware of an increasing number of stories where people have settled out of court with cases of undiagnosed perio, and they go back years and years and years. And you do wonder at times where people will get guidance and support that they may not know they're not making effective clinical decisions.
Well, I think, however, looking at this effective stuff might happen, I think it's got to be with the consent of the profession, and I think with the focus of encouraging improvement rather than being a punitive thing. Because I think practitioners need to be encouraged, and I've certainly heard feedback from some of our inspection processes that practitioners have said, you know what, it was really good to talk to some colleagues who were looking at us, who actually affirmed to us that we were doing a really good job and could be proud of what we were doing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because the profession, I think, is in the main very isolated. So actually handled in the right way, positioned in the right way, I could see how that could be very supportive. So it could be a lack of knowledge about alternative ways of approaching a patient that could impact on patient care. One of the other things that you hear quite a bit is, does the payment system in which a dentist is operating, what impact does that have on patient care? And I was particularly struck 2 or 3 years ago by the exchange between the Federation of London LDCs and the GDC around trying to achieve gold-plated standards under a tin-plated payment system. So what's the CQC's view on the impact that a system can have on patient care?
Well, it would be naive to think that the payment system didn't have an impact in one way or another. And I think there's I think that whilst we would expect all dental professionals to provide the best care that they're capable of, I don't think anyone sets out to do a bad job just because they're being paid under one system rather than another. So I think professional pride and responsibility will play a big part. From our position at CQC, of course, we're the advocate for the public, and we would expect the public to get good care under whatever system it's being delivered in. But we do understand the constraints that are there within the NHS, and I think if we were finding that the quality of care or the effectiveness of care for the public was being compromised by the NHS system, we'd find a way to speak out about that. Interestingly, there's been a lot in the press recently from the publication of information about health inequalities, particularly with young children, and also with perhaps adults who are in the social care system, in care homes and the like. And again, we're thinking as a commission, well, do we have a role in nudging the commissioners of care to looking at these inequalities where they exist? In terms of the payment systems, we're involved at CQC with the NHS contract reform process, and we certainly recognise that within the current system there are perverse incentives that sit within the contract. And some of those are linked to the UDA system and the payment system. Equally well, I think we do sometimes come across care in the private setting, where things are not as good as they could be either. When I joined CQC, a colleague joked with me and he said that Harley Street was an address, not a qualification. And that certainly struck me. But overall, of course, what we found at CQC is the quality of care that the public are getting is good, whichever system it's being delivered into.
I think that's very interesting. Certainly the patient experience of NHS care seems to be one of the most positive amongst all of the touch points they have within the NHS system. So patients certainly seem to feel satisfied. It's difficult to know, though, what they're benchmarking against, because they don't often get to compare. So back to that sort of discussion around almost the sort of peer review that helps dentists, actually, patients don't necessarily find it easy to know whether or not they're getting good care.
No, that's right. And of course, patients are vulnerable in that sense because of the knowledge gap that they've got. And that's why I think it's so important for professionals to be professional. And it sounds a little bit old-fashioned for me to be saying that, but actually I think it works in the public interest when professionals do put the interests of patients first. It's a key driver, I think, for our clinical, our ways that we work clinically.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that whole aspect of being a professional and remaining professional, I think, is a really interesting one, because you get the sense sometimes that a lot of NHS dentists feel that they're not necessarily doing the best they can do, full stop, but they are doing the best they can do under the circumstances. And it's at what point does the under the circumstances potentially threaten professionalism? I was talking to an associate fairly recently who was describing how she goes home at night and negotiates with herself about what compromises she can live with, her conscience could accept, in terms of the patient care she can deliver. And that actually must be a huge pressure on people.
I think that must be very difficult for people. And I think all the regulators will say that your professional responsibility is to put the interests of the patient first. And I think the challenge for changing the system actually needs to be existing with the people who work in the system, those who work in the NHS particularly. And I think the reform process that's underway for the NHS system, I think it needs to continue. And I think it needs to recognise the need to move on fairly quickly, because I think these pressures for younger dentists in particular, I think they're not going to go away.
And is your sense of the reform programme that it is making progress and that it is moving in the right direction?
Well, I've been involved in the reform process from the beginning, when I was chair of GDPC and was involved with the late Professor Jimmy Steele. And I think all the principles of reform that Professor Steele laid out in his report, which was 2009, nearly 10 years ago, I think the principles of how the NHS should deliver its services, I think, are still sound. The sticking point at the moment is the business model for the practices to enable them to deliver care in the way that Jimmy Steele's report suggested was right for the population. Under the current financial arrangements are quite difficult. There are arguments as to whether care should be provided on a capitation basis or what the balance of capitation and activity payments are. That seems to be one of the obstacles that needs to be overcome before contract reform can move ahead on a national level. The prototype practices and the pilot practices have done a great job for the profession. Interestingly, CQC has had a look at a few of those practices and they all came out really well. They all came out really well, particularly in the conversation between the patient and the practice about their needs, about their risks of disease. So in the responsive element of the CQC inspection, they all scored really highly. And so actually the reform process is getting a lot of things right.
Yes, I mean, that's the sense that I have, actually, that if you look at the oral health assessment and you look at the pathway, conceptually it seems right. It's just a question, as you say, of getting the right business model to support what seems to be actually a very good part of the proposal.
Yeah, and for me at CQC, sitting in the reform process still, it's quite interesting because our role is to be the advocate for the public, and so we're looking to see that the reform process has at least half a decent chance of providing that safe, effective, caring, responsive environment that we want for the public.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, John. It's been fascinating talking to you.
You're
really welcome. Appreciate the time.